Well, good morning. Greetings to each one this morning in Jesus' name. Greetings to our visitors. Nice to have you here, Greg. This morning, I'd like to talk about separation from the world. And the title of my opening is, What Does the World See in Me? The Bible gives us a directive to live separate from the world. And separation from the world is a biblical directive. Therefore, being conformed and lined up to the world is a sin. Christians are called to, and told to be separate, set apart, different, a peculiar people, and a light and a salt and many other things. So this morning I have a lot of questions that I'm going to be asking, and a lot of what I'm looking at is things that God has been sharing with me and I've been seeing in my life. So primarily I'm just sharing what I'm needing, and hopefully there's things you guys can glean as well. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this beautiful morning you have given us to enjoy. Thank you for the opportunity we have to meet here together and to hear from your word. Our desire is to be a set-apart person and a set-apart church. Just ask, Lord, that you would work in my life this morning and show me areas of the world that I want to remove and that have no place in my life. Ask that you would be with me as I share this morning and work through me. In Jesus' name, amen. This last several days, I was up north with my brother Matt, and we were looking for moose sheds. And there was a couple places we went, and we didn't find any. And so we made the decision to go to a different place. We had to try something else. And so this morning, my thoughts are is if we don't have what we're wanting in the Christian life, maybe we need to try something else. So, in order to help illustrate this, and in order to help make this a memorable opening, I wore my Fire Class 1 uniform this morning without my badge on it. I'm pretty set apart when I wear this. If I were to go into Hannaford like this, there's no questions that I'm a first responder. No one would have to wonder what agency I belonged to. No one would have to question where I worked. This uniform is made out of a certain type of fabric so it doesn't wrinkle. Blood won't stain it. I'm curious this morning if your uniform has gotten wrinkled and stained or not. When I wear this uniform, I won't drink anything besides water in it while I wear it, because the chances of a stain is too high for me to take the risks. And so I'm curious this morning is if there's things in the world that we take risks with and stay in the uniforms that we're called to wear. Sometimes life gets in the way and we get stains and things get marred out. If I had worn this shirt every day since I got it issued to me when I was 18 years old, I probably wouldn't be able to recognize it. If I had not cared what I did while I wear this shirt, there'd be grease stains on it, there'd be blood on it, and there'd be a lot of dirt and grime. But because I've cared about this uniform and taken very good care of it, it still looks pretty much new. It has my department's name on it, and it tells you that I'm Advanced Life Support Certified. On my badge, it tells you that I'm a captain. And again, it would tell you that I'm Advanced Life Certified, and my fire department's name was also on my badge. So I'm curious if it's that easy to identify us as Christians this morning. If we were to look at our life, if the world were to look at our life and were to be a seeking person, if there was someone hurt and they saw me walk past in this uniform, they're very likely to want to get my attention because I would have training and knowledge on how to help them more than likely. And I want to know if in my Christian life and in your Christian life, if we're that set apart that the world would see us and know they're needy and be able to call out to us, or is it too stained and marred for them to recognize where we belong and what we have? Several scriptures I'd like to look at this morning, starting in John chapter 15. In verse 19, it says, "If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." So if the world doesn't hate you, are you not apart from the world? Are you then part of it? What about me? If I have the world that likes me and accepts me, and the world includes me and wants me, am I truly living a set apart and separate life? These are a lot of questions that I've been asking myself and feeling that God has been asking me. In Romans 12:2, it says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." This is not only an outward action, but this is in our minds, that we're not to think like the world, we're not to have the attractions, the drawings, the mindset of the world. In 1 John chapter 2, there's a lot to say about separation, and John 2:15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." What is in the world that we love this morning that's drawing us, that's drawing our love and our time, our affection, and staining what we're supposed to be representing? Colossians 3, verse 2. It's in here somewhere. Colossians 3:2 says, "Set your affections on the things that are above, not on the things of the earth." Affections on the things above. I'm curious where our affection is this morning and what takes most of our time. Where are we focused on and seeking our acceptance and belonging and identity with? When I put this uniform on and chose to become a first responder, it meant the world to me, so to speak. It was something I was willing to die for. When I wore this uniform, I understood there was risks. I understood there was dangers. I understood there may be a time where I'd have to choose to lay down my life for someone else. Even if it was someone else I didn't know, if it was someone else that did stupid things that made themselves in the circumstances they were in, yet I was willing to take the chances to make a difference. And as Christians, we're supposed to be willing to lay down our life for those around us, and it's something I need to do more of in my life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 14, it says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? Or what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he, an unbeliever, with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." There's a lot of questions here that we're asked, and the answer is very obvious. Unequally yoked with an unbeliever, the Christian has no part of. Fellowship with unrighteousness. What communion is there light with darkness? There's none. If you have darkness and put a light there, there's no darkness. It's not like it turns gray or something. And in verse 17, it says not to touch the unclean thing. It doesn't even say not to eat of it. It doesn't say not to, you know, associate with it or to be around it. It says not to touch it. And so that is as clear of a command as non-resistance, as head covering, as modesty, as love one for another, as lying not. This is a biblical command, and therefore not to honor it, as I would see it, is sin. So Jesus commands us to be separate, and if you're not separate, then I have to ask you, which of the two kingdoms are you part of? Which of the two kingdoms am I part of? It's not like it's a gray area. It's either separate or you're not. I want to be separate this morning. In Leviticus chapter 18, In verses 3 and 4, it says, "After the things of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwell, ye shall not do. And after the things of the land of Canaan, whither I shall bring you, ye shall not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Ye shall do my judgments, and keep my ordinances, and walk wherein I am. I am the Lord your God." We may not be in Egypt or Canaan, but I think these verses are still true for us today, that just because we dwell and live in America, we're not to do the practices of this country. We're ambassadors, and if we were to go back to a different country, I know several of us here have been to other countries, and if you're in another country, you don't get involved very much with the country. You don't get into their politics. You don't get into, you know, decisions or even chasing the same interests. And it's because we're not home. We don't feel like we're a part of it. So I'm curious if here in America, if we are getting part of this world, if I were to draw a parallel line to the bottom of the chalkboard and then draw a line at an angle, the bottom line would be the world and the top line is us. We either are going closer to the world or further from the world. And if we were to look back at our life a year ago or 2 years ago and evaluate it honestly, I'd be curious to see individually for myself if I would be closer to the world or further from the world, and which way I'm going on that line. Revelations 18 is another verse about leaving this world. And in verse 4 it says, "I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out from her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sin, and that ye receive not her plagues." I wonder if God were to say that to our church for America, and if it said to come out from among her and to be separate and to receive not her, not to be part of it, and that we would not therefore be partaking of her sins. I'm curious if we could leave, or if it's too comfortable, too easy to live here, and too nice to be able to let it go. And there's a saying that says, if you don't stand out against the lie, but you go along with the lie, then you're part of it. And here I think it's clear the Bible says that even if these, in verse 4, it doesn't say that anyone was in sin. It just says that come out from among her and to be separate. It doesn't say that there, but it's clearly illustrated. And that ye be not partakers of her sin. So it seems if you don't come out from among her, that you are, by default, partaking in the sins. And as this country continues to go downhill, there's more and more sins getting more and more bold. And it's not like conversion and separation isn't like a flu shot where it's once and done. It's a life you have to continue to live out. And if you profess to have gone through the narrow gate and live a separated life, but you're walking the broad road, I think that's a very dangerous place to live. If you say you've been separated from the world, but you're into the same things as the world, then the Bible clearly illustrates that we'll know each other by our fruits. I'd like to go a little further and mention a few things that I have felt challenged with in my life that are part of this world that I don't want to be part of. Melvin mentioned a few last week about rodents and cheese, and that cheese can be put out and rodents just blindly go for it, even if there's a trap. One thing I have found is a dangerous zone in this world that the world is part of is the internet. If you look at www. Before a website, World Wide Web, it sounds like a trap. That's what spiders make, is webs, and they have victims and prey that blindly strolls into it. This morning I'd like to ask you if that's something that you're living separated with from the world, or if that is something that has ensnared you. I'm not saying the internet's wrong. I'm not saying that everything I'm going to go through is wrong. But the question I'd like to ask is, if your activity and your association is a separated life, that's what we're measuring up against. We're not trying to decide here if social media is right or wrong. What I'm asking this morning is if it's a separated life. Who are your friends? Who are your likes, your followers? If someone were to go through your social media and see your friends and to see your posts and what you like, would they find it a separated life, or would they find the world? I've had social media and I've given it up and I don't regret it. And I think that a large number of Christians need to look at that area, and the Bible says that we're to have no fellowship with the world, and friendship with the world is enmity with God. So if your friends on social media are friends of the world and living in the world, and people that we would say have sin in their life, and people whose fruits measure up to the fruits of unrighteousness, what fellowship should we have with that? Is it something you could give up for a separated life, or is it too important? Who are your heroes? Are they heroes of the Bible, or the heroes of this world? People who are living in sin, and people who we couldn't have communion with. Do you go and enjoy the same things of the world? Are we into the same activities? If the world were to be watching your life and to be looking for Christ and Christianity and holiness and separated life, would they be able to find it, or would they have a confused and unsure rep? Or would they only know that you go to church on Sunday morning and then Monday through Saturday, you're like the world? Do we work like the world? Do we talk like the world? What about our money? Do we handle it and use it and treat it like the world does for our own gratification and our own selfishness and greed? Or do we use it like it's a talent that God has given us to be used for his kingdom? How about video games? Movies? What about our music? Do we listen to the same things as the world? Is our music separated? If someone went through your playlist, would they be able to pull out that you're a Christian? What about our eyes, what we see, where we look, what we're attracted to? Is it a separated life? How about our businesses, how we operate and how we work and how we treat customers? Is it a separated life, or is it like the world? How about our interest in the news? The Bible says to take no thought for tomorrow, but are we so drawn and attracted to the news that we spend vast amount of time seeing what's going on in the world and what's happening and what Russia's trying to pull off, or South Korea? Are we truly living without anxiety and worry? I wonder what it would be like to go a week without looking at the news and see if you would still come to the conclusion that you're not taking thought and you're not worrying. How about our dress and our clothing and how we attire ourselves and conduct ourselves? Is it a separate life, or do we try to get as close to the world as we can get away with? If there was a man who was in jail and had been a huge alcoholic and he had been converted and came to our church, we would encourage him not to go past any bars. We would encourage him to stay with someone who he could be accountable to. And we would certainly encourage him not to be, you know, associated with other drunks. What about Christian life? If there's an area in our life that we struggle with in this world, are we willing to not only not go there, but to take measures to avoid it? I don't know what part of the world is drawing your life this morning, but I know what's drawing mine, and I want to separate it. Anyone who's done any length of trapping will know that there will be times you come to a trap, and there's just going to be a foot. And it's not like you caught just a foot running through the woods, but a fox especially, but also raccoons, will, when they get caught, they'll know they're in danger, and they'll know this is a problem. They'll be willing to chew their own leg off to get away. Is our life and separation from the world and holiness most important enough that we're willing to literally chew our own leg off to be free from that trap and that snare? And are we willing to change our lives and to bear fruit that is pure? If I were to give you a glass of water that was 90% water and 10% sewage, I'm pretty sure nobody would drink it. What about your Christian life? Is God getting 90% water and 10% sewage? Or is he getting holiness and separated life? Matthew 7, verse 16. following says, "You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." If we were to honestly take a look at our life and everything we do on a day-to-day basis, I wonder what our fruit would say. We are living. Are we living like the world, performing and professing godliness, but truly living something else? Or are we truly living a tree that brings forth good fruit? Our profession doesn't hold true until our fruit holds true. In Matthew 7:22, it says, "Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works?" I wonder what that category includes. Do you think it's Christians who profess Christianity but then don't hold to a separated life? They don't hold to all the values that God has given us into being holy and to being distinct. As this world continues to get more and more corrupt and evil, the Christians should be becoming more and more distinct and easier to spot and more set apart and not getting closer to the world. I'm curious to see where you would find yourself in that. As this world continues to go downhill, are you going downhill with it, just two steps behind it, so you still aren't quite as bad? Or are we willing to be as far apart and distinct and separate as it takes? If I went to the White House and said, "I know the president," they're not going to let me in. But if the president came out and said that he knew me, I'd be able to go in. Based off of your life, is Jesus going to be able to know you as his child, or do you just know him? If you choose to participate in this world and accept the world's direction, you're going to accept your eternal destiny as well. Or you can choose your destiny and accept the path it takes to get there. If that takes being separate, being different, then that's what it has to take. If I were to offer you an investment for something that you had invest $1,000 into, and I told you in 6 months it's only going to be worth $100, I think it's safe to say that there's no one here who's going to invest $1,000. How about your life and your soul in this world? Are you willing to invest now to have popularity, to blend in, not to be set apart, to talk like the world, to dress like the world, to be involved in the things of the world, and lose your own soul? That's a lot less return than $1,000 for $100. The Bible says in Matthew 16:26, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" What is your soul worth this morning? Is it worth separation? Is it worth being set apart and living a life that brings honor and glorification to God? Or is it one that isn't worth that much to you, so you have to blend in and try to be as close to the world as you can while professing godliness? The Bible says there would be a salt and a light. Those are very distinct things. It's very obvious if you make a soup or a stew, if you need to add a little salt to it, it makes a big difference. I wonder if our lives make that kind of a difference to the soup around us. It's up to us, as Melvin shared, to continue a godly heritage or to start a godly heritage or to be conformed and to be transformed and become like the world. It's up to us. We have the world and its lures and its pulls and its attractions, and we know where it ends up. And we have Christianity and heaven and God and his offers and his choices and living for him, and we know where it ends up. It's a very easy decision if you're willing to lose the world. In Joshua 24:15, it says, "If it seems And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods of your fathers that were before you on the other side of the flood, the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. Is that who you want to make your god this morning? The gods of the land in which we dwell? Or you can take the second half of the verse and say, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want to serve the Lord this morning, and I want to be willing to lay down the world and the attractions, the lures of the world. I want to set apart and be distinct and be different. And I want to bring honor and glorification to God. And I have something here that means quite a lot to me. This is something that I was given when I left the fire department, or just before I did. When I was a fire captain, I earned the Firefighter of the Year for Nez Perce County for 2017. There's no way I could have earned this if I would have been unsure of my identity, if I wouldn't have known where I belonged, if I didn't know what my role was as a captain, and if I didn't know how to fulfill my job, if I was missing calls, missing my responsibilities, and off and about with the world and other activities, my name wouldn't be on there. In heaven, I don't know if we'll get plaques, but I know we can hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. I'm wondering this morning if being separate, committed, dedicated, and loyal to God is worth losing the world and the things others may be involved in and chasing after, so that when you get to heaven, we can be accepted as the Lord's and he will take us and want us. God wants holiness and he wants separation. Is that too high for you? Is that too high for me? Or is that something we're willing to go for, whatever the costs? Just challenge you, especially thinking with communion tonight, if we have the world in our lives, let's root it out. God bless you.